God, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you that you have prepared a place for us, that in your house we are your children. God, we thank you for the great love and care you have poured over our lives. God, we pray that in this time we would hear your word, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear what it is you have for us. God, we also lift up those on our prayer list, and Lord, you know each person, you know what is needed in their lives. We pray that you would provide healing, comfort, and peace in this time. God, pray for me that I would hear your words, speak your words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the questions that many parents are fed up with is the question of why, right? As a parent, you hear this question many times, and it speaks to this just inerrant quest within each one of us to know the answers. We don't just want to know what it is, but we want to know why. We want to understand. But, that question can sometimes be difficult to answer. And perhaps this sounds familiar to you as a parent. Why do I have to go to school? Well, how do you answer that? Because if you don't, the police will come and they'll put me in jail and they'll take you away. Right? Why? Because education is important and you need to learn stuff. Well, why? Because you want to be a good person in society. You want to do well. You got to learn how to read. You need to know history and how to write and all of these things. Why? Right? And just on and on it goes, and eventually leads up to the answer, because I said so. Which is an important answer. It's important. There's a lot behind that answer. But, you know, as we begin to try to answer that question of why, the difficulty can come in attempting to make a child or someone understand something that they just don't quite, they're not there yet, you know? And sometimes it's because we don't quite understand why. This just the way it is. This is what we do. It's what is. But I think for a lot of things, whenever we put Christ in the center of that answer, it becomes a little easier. You know, why go to school? Well, because education is always important. But going to school helps us to learn more. And in learning, we learn how to think. We can know more about God. The more we know about God, the more we can love God. The more we can know about how He loves us. The more education we receive, you know, we learn about other cultures. And maybe God has called us to other cultures to be able to minister to them. We learn how to operate within a workspace, you know, that we can share God with our coworkers or maybe even people who work for us, right? And it's these sort of answers that give us something more to grasp hold of, more than this is what society says we're supposed to do. It gives us that deeper answer of what does God say for us. So today we're asking this question of why. Because one, our text today, I think the question presents itself. And two, the answer is extremely important. So our text today is from Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he came up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So as we talked last week, or a couple weeks ago, John the Baptist, he came to prepare the way, right? And he preached this message of repentance. Why? Because we have to repent in order to be saved. John was preparing the way for Jesus' ministry, and he was out on the Jordan, and he was baptizing people in this repentance. They were coming to him. They were listening to the message that he had. They were repenting, and they were saying, you know, what do I need to do? And here he was baptizing them into the river. They would come up a new creature, right? Rebirthed to go and to do, to follow the commands of God in their lives. Now, this is not the first place where baptism comes up. This is the first place where we see it in such a way, this immersion into the water and this coming up. But baptism goes back to the rituals that God gave us in order to come to him, right? We are sinful creatures, and to be able to go into his tent, to be able to go and just offer sacrifices, we had to cleanse ourselves. And God gave these cleansing rituals, these practices to cleanse our bodies, to cleanse our hearts and our minds. It's, you know, when we think about this washing, this cleansing, and we think, well, you know, what is really going on there? Well, one, it is this physical act that reminds us of what is going on in the spiritual, right? It reminds us of our sin. It reminds us of our shortcomings. And it reminds us that God is the one who cleanses us and makes us clean. This baptism is what we call in the church a sacrament. That is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. This outward thing that is going on that is representing something that is happening also in the spiritual. And so here comes Jesus, and he is asking to be baptized. So we remember then that this baptism, right? Like, it reminds us of where we were, where we are. It reminds us of what God has done in our lives. It declares the work that he is doing, and then the work that we have declared, right? That we are being made new, that we have come to know God, and we are dead to our old selves, alive to our new selves. It brings us into the church as members of the body of Christ. But also, through all of that, this grace of God is active within our lives. So why would Jesus need to be baptized? Well, let's look a little closer at this verse here, verse 15. Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. That is, John consented. So John recognized who this person was, right? He knew this is the Messiah that has come. I am not worthy to baptize this man. I think about that song. You know, we just did Christmas time and all of that, and there's this wonderful song, "Mary, Did You Know?" Right? I love that song. I love that. "Did you know to kiss the face of Jesus was to kiss the face of God?" Oh, that gets me every time. And so here is John baptizing. There's no "John, did you know that?" Yes, John knew this was the Messiah. And here is this Messiah who has come asking to be baptized by him. And so, you know, he pauses for a moment and just says, look, Jesus, is this the way it's supposed to go? Like, shouldn't you be baptizing me? But then he says this word. I love this. Okay, let it be so now. So this is the same Greek word there for let it be so now is the same word that is used for consented. Then he consented. Athemi or something like that is how it's pronounced. And so that same word, he says, permit it for now. And then John permitted it, right? And we see in there this obedience from John to follow God's will. He didn't quite understand it, but, you know, he asked, Jesus said, and so he said, okay, this is it. We're gonna let it happen. But then he says, for this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. That it is proper. It is the right thing to do for me, Jesus, to be baptized by you, John. Why? Why? Because Jesus was one of us. Because Jesus wanted to make himself known to us that he is one of us. I mean, God has always been with us, right? In the beginning, God created everything. He was there in creation, and he even created us in his image. He's always been with us. He's always been working through us, and he called his people to do his work, right? Noah and Abraham and Moses and David, right? We have always been participating in his work on earth. But now this new dynamic was coming in that Jesus, God, the Word made flesh, was here, not just with us, but was one of us. This is one of those great mysteries, you know? I mean, there's things that we can understand and then things we just don't really get. I understand Jesus was fully human. I understand that while he was fully human, he was also fully God. What I don't understand is how that dynamic actually works, right? But this is what Scripture says. Here he is coming to be with us, to participate in all of those things that we participate in, to be a part of humanity. I want to bring this other verse to your attention. This is from Hebrews. And, I started just reading it all, Ed. You know, I mean, it's Hebrews. But here's two verses, right? Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, that's talking about us and Jesus, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all of those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So he came to be one of us. Why? So that he to partake of those same things, that through death, to take our death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, so that we would be free, right? That we would no longer be slaves, but we would be free. So Jesus, let's go back to this verse. Jesus became one of us, went through the things that we went through, identified with us, was made perfect in his humanity so that he could die for us and set us free. And I just think, you know, for me, God, you would do this for me? I mean, part of my personality is that I have this inner critic, right? It tells me everything that I have done wrong, everything that I am doing wrong, all those places that I fall short. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about and have that inner critic in yourself. Some of you have a different personality, and that's fine. And Look, I know that you know places that I have fallen short, and trust me, you don't have to tell me. I already know, and I can add to that list. No problem, right? Not only what I have done wrong, but why I have done wrong, why I have not measured up. And so, you know, part of that is the enemy within telling me all these things that I am not worthy, I am not worth God's time and effort. And part of that is just the way God made me. I know how many times that I have fallen short. But yet here I see God, Jesus, who took on my humanity, who took on everything that I have, so that he could take my place on the cross, so that I could be set free. And this was God's will. God's will. That's why it says it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. What is that righteousness? It is right living with God. God wanted Jesus to come in the flesh, to be flesh, to take on all humanity so that he could be with us. And we see the confirmation of this, that as he rose from the waters, the heavens opened up, right? And the Spirit descended like a dove. And this voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And here we see this wonderful interaction between the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all for our behalf. Like, do you see the love that God has for you? Do you see that through all time, throughout all Scripture, he is pursuing after you? That he was waiting for this moment, this fulfillment of time, that he would be birthed into creation. That Jesus would walk the earth and take our humanity. This is what he was thinking about. Yet so many times I get caught up, I got to thinking about work and thinking about the house and thinking about the kids and what are we going to eat for lunch and what are we going to do about this and what are we going to do about that? And it's like, maybe I should pray today or something. That might be good, right? And it's like God is this afterthought sometimes. But then here God is fully committed and thinking about us. And I can just see this picture, of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit sitting there in their throne room, wherever that is, and looking upon us and saying, God saying, like, look, there's Murdoch. So Jesus, remember that nail strike, that's for Murdoch. Like, I just can't wait. I can't wait till he's there. I can't wait till I can fill him with my Spirit, that I can wrap him and embrace him in my love, that I can show him who I have called him to be. So the next question is, what are we going to do? If we know the why, then the why drives us to the question, what now? What must I do? In short, it is repent, be baptized, believe. And I know that many of you in here, you have repented, you've been baptized, and you believe. But I know there's some of you, you've been baptized, never truly repented or believed. Today, I want to remind you what God has done for us. That Jesus came here. He took on our humanity. He became one of us so he could die for us and set us free. I pray that fans a flame in you. That maybe you think about your own self and you know, say, I've been thinking too much about me and not enough about what I can do for God. My prayer is that this year, 2020, we're only a couple weeks in, so it's okay to start now if you haven't already started. This year, 2020, that we will pursue God with the ferocity that He pursued us. That we would pursue Him with such dedication and heart. Because our world desperately needs its Savior. Amen. Our community desperately needs its Savior. And God has placed you in this place, in this time, for such an hour as this, to carry His light into the darkness. Amen. So, I'm going to ask Karen if you'll play the piano for us a bit. I think what we need to do is spend some time in prayer. So I'm going to invite you to come to the kneeling rail. Maybe you need to come and you need to repent. Maybe you need to come and you just need to give thanks to God for all that He is doing, that He has done, and that He actually chose you. Maybe you need to come and rededicate. Whatever the case may be, this is a time for prayer and pursuing God. And then, if you want, if you're willing, totally optional, I have some oil, some anointing oil, and I'll be over on the side if you would like to be anointed. Jesus was anointed. His feet were anointed with the perfume and the tears of a prostitute before He died. Anointing is that setting apart. Many of us have been baptized. This anointing is remembering that baptism and what it was we declared and the grace of God moving in our lives at that time. Let us seek God in prayer and in our lives. God, we thank You for all that You have done. We thank You for loving me. Thank You for loving us. God, we confess that we have not done many things that we should have done. God, forgive us. And God, thank You for that forgiveness which You have already poured out. I pray, God, that You would fan the flame that is within our hearts, Your Spirit that You have placed upon us, that we would pursue You, and that we would be those bearers of Your light. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name.